You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mr. Disrespect himself of the No Disrespect podcast, FIFO 24/7.
Say the 24/7.
Yep. And thank you guys for subscribing. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure you guys check out the No Disrespect podcast, the new Frames Per Second podcast, and Is the Mic Still On? Dead in Hip Hop, Dead in Gaming, all that. So check that out, man, and see. You may find some stuff that you like. We're going to go ahead and jump into this week's topic. It's, surprisingly enough, there is stuff to talk about. Because when I was thinking about last week and I was looking ahead, I was like, well, there are no games.
Yeah.
So, like, what's going to happen? But sports never rest, man. We got Antonio Brown popping off. Kyle sent us an article about the Hawks. You know, we're in Atlanta, so we definitely want to try to focus in a little bit more on them. Manny Machado signed.
That Kyler Murray,
sure. My Kyler kid's Murray. Definitely playing baseball. You know, I'm Cuban too.
It's either
baseball in the jeans, but
it's either baseball, soccer, or tennis,
and golf.
Golf too. Yeah, golf. You can play golf until you were in the dirt.
Yep.
And of course, and the All Star Weekend. So we're just going to recap the All Star Weekend real quick. You guys, we're streaming on Facebook. Go to YouTube. You can watch our reactions live to the three-point contest. Curry got off. Harris. Who else snapped?
Buddy Hill was there for
Buddy Hill had a good first round. Yeah. Buddy Hill had a good first round.
I think that was pretty.
No. There was a third person.
Nowitzki had a good moment.
Didn't Dame have a good round?
No.
He was out at first.
Kemba was out first.
They were terrible. But, yeah, you guys can see that. You guys can see that, man. And, of course, the slam dunk competition. You guys can see us react live to all of that, and so that's it. So that covers the All-Star festivity. Also, the skills challenge. Yeah. So that's that. So what we didn't do was the All-Star game, and shout out to NBA League Pass, man, because I didn't watch the game live. Really? I watched it the following. You know what made me go back and watch the game?
I was gonna say, why did you even want to watch it anyway?
I never watch it. Why did I want to watch it? I just saw the headlines. Team LeBron storms back to beat Team Giannis. And I was like, and they said they're in the second half. Mm-hmm. And I think they gave a score showing that they were trailing like by 20 points or something like that. So I'm like, okay, what the hell happened? So I was curious. So I said, were they just playing around? You know, like, were they just missing shots? Like, what was the story behind them coming back? And then I watched it. And of course, you know, the superstar that's not a superstar to him, you know, got things going. Dame with the 3 points. Yeah, he caught fire.
In that third quarter.
Man.
From the logo.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, but who got MVP? A superstar.
Okay. They just gave it to him because he hit like four. He went for four.
He was the guy that closed out the game.
Yeah, he closed the game.
That's what he's paid to do, right?
I understand. But all of these guys. So would you say that everybody that was here, obviously Dirk was a superstar. Last leg. D-Wade was a superstar. Yeah. But everybody that was here is a superstar? Who?
No.
So who isn't a superstar?
Kemba.
Okay.
Clay.
I do have a question about Kemba, but that's later. That's about something else.
Okay, Kemba, Clay.
I'm trying to think of
Bradley Beal.
Oh, was Russell on the? Yeah, Bradley Beal. Was D'Angelo Russell there?
Yeah.
I might have a starting five with that.
No, it was a lot of non-superstars there.
I'm trying to think who else was
there. But there definitely was stars.
That's all I can think off the top. I'm LaMarcus.
Yeah, he's not a superstar. He's an all-star.
Yeah, LaMarcus.
That's probably about it.
That's like a third of the teams.
Yeah, but the superstars made it happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talking about Dame and Clay. Clay
did what he does, but Dame was the spark.
Dame was the spark. Clay started hitting, and so was Bradley.
And Harden. Yeah, Bradley was key, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bradley hit like three.
And then Harden hit key threes for them.
Let me get some back. The reason why we're having this conversation, because I think Dame Lillard, I respect him, but I do not think that he is a superstar.
And the whole time he started hitting those threes from the logo, I was going to text you guys. I was like, no, I'm going to save it.
You're going to say that you're going to start breaking.
but I'm watching a replay on League Pass. They had the whole thing. I'm like, and I just got hyped watching him. I'm like, mm-hmm. Look at this dude. Look what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Like,
again, he's a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal player. But to me, superstars is like, can you someone who's not even a fan of the NBA or like a fan of the sports, really, can mm-hmm. they recognize them?
And I think for Dame, you can. And I also think that superstar means that can this person be the centerpiece of your franchise? Right, and I think Dame is definitely a centerpiece of a franchise.
But if that's the case, then what's the case? Then you're kind of saying Kemba is too. Then
I think Kemba is borderline because there's obviously it's multifaceted, right? It's not just can you build around him? Of course, but at the end of the day, by himself, what can he do? Right, and I think that also lends itself to if that person is a superstar or not. And I think at the bare minimum, even if you just have mediocre talent around you and you're the lone superstar, can you make the playoffs? It doesn't matter like if you're AC, right? Because what happened when KD left and Russ was by himself? You got them boys to the playoffs, yeah. And he averaged a triple dub. You know what I'm saying? So that's a superstar. Kemba's borderline because I think he's just now getting into his own, and I don't know if that he's because they're in the playoff hunt right
Seven
now.
7 seed right now.
7 seed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think that if he re-signs in Charlotte, right? I don't think obviously.
I hope he doesn't either.
Yeah. For his sake. But however, if he takes the money and he stays in Charlotte and they don't attract anybody else, and for the next 2-3 years, he makes the playoffs, regardless of how stacked or not stacked the East is, he's a superstar.
And as an aside, real quick, the Kemba thing, because I was looking at the free agent list, and I remember you saying, Kemba Walker, that's it? And no. I remember agreeing with you, but then I started thinking about it the other day. I'm like, Kemba Walker's not a bad
hit. You're talking about as far as the Lakers.
The Lakers.
The only reason why I say that is because I think Kemba, if the Knicks don't get Kyrie, I want Kemba, because I think first of all he's in purgatory right now in Charlotte.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
I think that's why he's hard.
And I think if he was in the New York market, he'll be a superstar right now, because first of all he's from there, and second of all his game plays like New York, because he's clutch.
And one
underrated
of his biggest games happened in Madison Square Garden when he was playing for UConn. That step back was nasty.
Exactly. But the reason why I was saying that as far as the Lakers concerned is because Kemba, especially with Lonzo being there, like, that's not a player that you would feel like.
I understand the fit.
It's not even a fit, but it's also, like, defensively he may be a liability. So it's just like, how would he even help you holistically?
It sounded like you were disrespecting him. That's all.
Nah, I mean, I was a little bit, but I am now a little bit by saying you're not a superstar. But that's only because of circumstance, not really mostly about him. It's just more about situation and certain circumstances that he can't control.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if the Lakers sign Kemba, they're probably going to move on from Lonzo. Like there's still other
They're going to move on from Lonzo most likely anyway.
Well, I don't think so.
It's not a done deal?
No, I think it depends on who they pick up in free agency. I truly do. Because here's the thing. I want to say Chris Broussard was saying this today, where without Lonzo, the Lakers' defensive rating is 118.
Yeah, the worst
defensive team in the league is Cleveland at a rating of 114. So they're 4 points under the worst team, without Lonzo. And with Lonzo, they're at 98.
I know we spent a lot of time on the Lakers. We're not going to do that this time. I got to say, Luke Walton, and I get experimenting, but putting Rondo on the bench and starting LeBron at point guard and this and Reggie Bullock, like, what are you doing? Like, you're making – like, he has no clue. He has no idea what he wants to do with
that team.
He's gone.
And they publicly said, like, he don't know what he's doing with the roster. The rotation's all over the place.
He don't know he a dead horse, so let's not even beat this conversation.
Yeah, I know. LeBron going to get him to the playoffs, though. Anyway, but the All-Star game, I think was exciting. The comeback was exciting. The fourth quarter was exciting middle of the way through, and then at some point it the talent that Team LeBron had took over. And I was watching, I'm like, how did LeBron get this team?
No, yeah, when I was looking at the selection, first of all, Giannis has to be an international player because the players he picked is like you ain't picking the boys that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what his eye test was, but it was just like, then he had the second pick. Okay, even if the second pick, but like, LeBron had everybody that.
Here's the thing. So the way that it went about, LeBron had the first pick of the starters, and then Giannis had the first pick of the bench. So obviously, you know how like the people vote for the starters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So LeBron had the first pick of those 10 or 8 players, and then
Durant.
Yeah, so his first pick was Durant. Giannis was Steph. Then, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then when it went to the bench, Giannis had the first pick. Then LeBron had the second pick. But I agree. I LeBron got all the shooting. If you look at it, everybody on LeBron's squad, KD, Dame, James Harden, Klay, Kyrie, all them boys can bang.
But when you put them side by side to the Greek Freaks roster,
there's only like one mismatch.
It's like, what the hell? Like, Curry, obviously he had, and Paul George. Mm-hmm. Westbrook couldn't buy a bucket.
No.
You know, he looked terrible out there, and that was about it. Like,
didn't he have Embiid?
He had Embiid.
Embiid. They went at Embiid.
They did.
They went at Embiid.
Because he talked smack all season.
Did you hear what – there was a clip they played with Russ in the – I think it was a press conference before the game he was having. He was like – they was like, how do you feel about being on the same team with Embiid? Mm-hmm. He was like, next question. Yeah. Like, they – hey.
I'm waiting for Embiid to have an all-star MVP performance.
Waiting to play it?
So you say he hasn't – you talking about season, right?
In the All-Star game.
Oh, in the All-Star game. I got you. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm about to say regular season. I thought he was talking about playoffs.
No.
Yeah. Because he didn't look impactful at all.
No, he didn't. It looked like the game was a little quick for. And this is his first All-Star game, right? Or is this second?
So. Okay.
Because he's been hurt. I think he's been hurt to the point where he couldn't even play if he wanted.
Okay, so maybe it was a little too
fast. I think this may have been his first.
Is either his first or second?
Looked a little. Lost out there too.
He may have been voted in, but he hasn't played. I haven't seen him play.
And then you know Ben's first one. Mm-hmm. I think your first one is always the most difficult because obviously you know you're good because you belong and the coaches voted for you.
I think it's more of a happy to be there moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you don't want to step on nobody's toes, man. You got D Wade on your squad. You know what I'm saying? You know you gotta make sure he get buckets. However, Ben did push the pace.
Oh, he did. And he did.
He pushed the pace. And you see where his value comes from, right? Like, he's literally just a big-ass point guard.
But he looked like he has so much developing to do.
He does.
Because he really didn't look like he belonged. He still filled out the stat sheet and everything else, but the way the game is now and the way his game is now, he just didn't look like he fit, and neither did Embiid.
But you know what's crazy, though, Ken? You talk about how much more developing he needs, and the man averages 16 a game. The man gets, like, 8 or 9 assists
a game.
He's
really Jason Kidd, dog. Like, he's really a big-ass Jason
Kidd. My thing is, like, right now we're looking at a lot of I don't want to say potential because you brought up the factual stats of his production.
But it is potential,
But it's potential because he hasn't done anything.
And it's just a shot. We all know. Everybody says it. It's just a shot.
I think it's more about – because I think when he first got drafted, I think he felt like this was going to be his team holistically. And the fact that Embiid has kind of taken
that
from him as far as because of his personality. Like, he doesn't have a dominant personality. Mm-hmm. Like, even though he's the point guard, he's the one with the ball in his hands the most.
Team.
He's a passer first. Like, he's passive, no pun intended. But also, it kind of goes against him because he kind of wants to be it, but he doesn't have the the cojones to call it out to do it.
Because he's not a scorer, right? And then
also, would you say he's more magic, Ben?
Yeah, he's definitely. Yeah, I've been said that.
I said kid, but I was thinking. I was like, yeah, he's probably more magic because Magic didn't really have a shot either.
Especially early Magic.
I wouldn't even say he's talent wise. He's Magic, but I would say
he's not.
He's more like Rondo. Less aggressive though.
Now I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember how polished Magic was in the post because Ben's post game he looked sped up. He got that little hook thing, but
That's about it. What it is that the game scoring wise for Ben Simmons, scoring wise, the game ain't slow yet. The game is still fast because when you watch Ben Simmons play, the best version of Ben Simmons, and we get that rebound, and he pushes. Because he plays, at least last year, I got to look up the stats for this year, but last year, Philly played at the fastest pace, and he was the fastest-paced player in the NBA. And that's Ben Simmons at his best. Mm-hmm. However, playoff basketball, half-court basketball is where he looks sped up. Yeah. Because he's not comfortable yet in getting buckets because he doesn't have moves yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, like, his game style is, like, early. Like, Rondo, like, to me, when he... Especially during, like, the years right when the big three just got started, he was, like, the pace guy. He was doing everything else.
But he looked way more calm.
That's because when the big three got there, that was his second year.
He was a rookie.
His rookie year was when they were bad. And then
are you sure? I thought they won when he was a rookie.
Nah. He won when he was his second year.
Okay. People fact check us.
Yeah, they'll fact check it.
Yeah, I will.
But I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, he's really good at controlling, like you said, pace.
Right.
Knowing where people need to be at their spots.
And I guess it's different when you got Pearson Garnett out there, right? And
Ray Allen. Exactly. So. And you got Embiid, you got Jimmy, you got Tobias now. It's just like, you got players where you don't have to, you know, it's not all on you. But when they leave you open and everybody's, you know, handled, it's like, what moves do you have? And you throw up some shot and it's an air ball.
See, but at the same time, comparing the big three plus Rondo versus the big three in Philly plus Ben Simmons, the main difference is all three of those guys that Rondo had were all super experienced. They already knew, they've already been playoff tested. They've been through the ringer, right? So for Rondo, it was all he had to do was soak it up. With Ben, he's still kind of a leader because the only person that's really been through the ringer like that in terms of playoff battles and battle tested is only Jimmy, right? Like Tobias, this is the first time.
Yeah, he's not been on the winning team.
He hasn't been on a winning team and he hasn't played at an all-star level before this year, right? And then you look at Embiid, obviously, major talent, but he hasn't been through the ringer yet. And then obviously Jimmy. So I think that's the big difference. Rondo had more teachers to be like, hey, you know, look at this, that, and the third, where Ben Simmons has to be kind of a leader right now.
Well, then with that being said, what do you think about that whole situation with Magic and the fact of the Sixers, particularly Elton Brand, nixing that whole, you ain't talking to my boy.
Yeah. I think that it was more for public, you know what I'm saying, to kind of not say face, but it was for the Sixers to kind of set the record straight. Like, you know, everything we doing is homegrown. Yeah. However, Ben Simmons will definitely, you know, be better for working out with Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. He just – because realistically, outside of LeBron, what other big guard – and Luka now, we could put him in that conversation. Outside of LeBron and Luka – who else is than 6'8" that's pass first that can do all that, got a little bit of magic in his game? It's Ben Simmons.
Yep, second year. Sebastian Telfair and Delonte West.
Sebastian Telfair was supposed ahead to be a dog.
He was supposed to
in his rookie year was 2006 to be 3K.
Because I think he got traded. He was drafted by Phoenix and then he got traded to Boston. I think
Paul George had a good game.
He did.
Yeah, and he cooled off in the fourth, but he hit Harden with a couple of his own moves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Paul George.
George got that old school Paul Pierce game.
He do.
It's slow as hell.
He got old man game.
It's slow as hell.
Paul George will be around for a minute.
But he'll get you.
But, you know, just thinking about the All-Star experience overall, I think the NBA was spot on with doing this the top two vote getters drafting their own teams.
Yes.
Because it makes it so much more relatable now, right? Where when we go to the court, I'm like, yo, I got him. Well, you got him. I got him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think you bring that element into the game. And then also you're seeing teammates go against each other. Mm-hmm. Like that 4-point play against Klay Thompson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then what Klay said afterwards, he's like, hey, man, if this is how other teams feel, it feels bad. It sucks. And it does. And I always said that about Steph. Like, it's not the fact that he makes those shots. It's the fact that they're demoralizing. Mm-hmm. And especially when they're at home and that crowd goes crazy. You're like, bro, what am I supposed to do?
They go crazy as soon as he gets touched the ball.
As soon as it goes up.
Yeah.
Everybody anticipates he's going
to
win.
For the people that's actually still trying to play defense, for him, for them, not only does he, like, strap it in your eye, but it's a 4-point play. It's like, all right, bro, I'm like,
yeah.
What's the point of even
and he wanted
can't
to
even touch this man?
Like, he wanted
like,
to.
Yeah, he was like, I got Klay,
yep.
I got Klay.
Yep.
And then y'all see the dunk he did at the end of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then he was dunking it in warm-ups. Yep. Yeah.
Now, the one thing I got to say, the biggest highlight of the night, in my opinion, that bounce pass from Steph to, who was that? Is
Giannis.
That Giannis?
Yeah.
The bounce pass.
You just see it where he just bounced it. It went over. It was so high that KD just looked up at it.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see it. I didn't watch the whole game like beginning to end.
Oh, you got to watch it. That's like the biggest highlight of the night.
Okay. I saw the missed alley that he tried at Giannis at first. When he was coming down the court, he went around the back.
Yeah, the one.
And he threw it out. What you doing?
If Giannis was like a second late, or if he would wait a little bit for it, like so he can cock back on it, I was like, yo, that would have been that might have been a dunk of the year.
Yep.
But obviously, shout out to Wade. He got that last alley oop to LeBron.
I know, man. It gave me memories. I was like, oh, it's over.
You know what's crazy? That made me think, like, bro, there's gonna be a time probably in the next 3 years, LeBron's gonna be done.
Yeah.
I think he'll be done before we say he should be done.
And I know he's hurt. And I know he saved his line, but when I was watching that game, I was like, damn, I don't think LeBron doing anything.
Mm-mm.
Like
LeBron was in chill mode.
Chill mode. He looked slow.
Slower.
Like, there was an alley he missed.
But does that injury that he had, is that more of like, did he age overnight?
I don't think so, but he has come out and say that he's not 100% and he is being careful with it.
Yeah.
But that goes against the report of saying if the playoffs started.
Whoa, at the end of the day, any superstar player that's at 70% or better, they're going to go. In the playoffs, they're going. You know what I'm saying? Even if they know that they can injure themselves, they're going to go.
And him playing now validates that report.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. But I think he really wants to play with his son. So I don't think he's going to retire until he plays at least one season with his son.
Because with his son or in the same league as his son?
With his son. Because when he finishes his Laker contract, he'll be a free agent. So he could literally sign with whoever drafts his son.
Will his son be in the NBA by that point?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He would be a rookie.
Change.
Well, you think he'll go back to 18?
I think the one-and-done rules will change.
Possibly. So
within the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it'll be enough time.
Really?
Yeah, mainly because did you see what the NBA is doing with the G League? Like top, like draft picks, right? They can go into the G League instead of going to college, and they'll give them a six-figure contract in the G League.
No, I get that, but I feel like that's an NBA NCAA discussion.
No, it's just an NBA discussion because the NBA is the one that imposed that rule.
Yeah.
I thought that was because they didn't talk
about it. It's an NBA rule. So if
the
NBA
NCAA, said, yeah, they get the blame for it.
Exactly.
But the NBA is the one that has the rule.
Exactly.
So all they have to do is change it.
Exactly.
And think about it like this. If you are the NBA and Adam Silver, do you really want to wait another year for LeBron?
No.
Or like, not even that. Or Zion.
Or Zion. Yep,
exactly.
Yep. You can have him right now.
Yep.
And now everybody, Duke watching them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Duke fans are watching them. Everybody that want to watch them play, they can be in the league.
That 1 year probably boosted the NCAA by like $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
By just being like, oh, yeah, we can just market Zion.
Of course.
Did you guys watch that 23-point comeback?
I watched the highlights.
Yeah, I watched the highlights.
Yeah, I didn't see the game. I meant to go back.
The person who stood out to me, it's your boy, Cam Reddish. If the Knicks... Because
you're torn now.
I'm torn because I know Zion is box office, right? And if you develop him right, because I believe in Scott Perry, because, I mean, obviously he was there for KD, Westbrook, Harden. So he knows how not only to draft players but develop them. If you get him right, he could be something that we've never or haven't seen in a long time. But that boy Cam Reddish, that man, he ready now. He ready now. He can do everything that I need him to do.
You know who he is? When I watch him, because I remember when I started hearing about his name, and I started watching highlights and mixtapes and stuff. I'm like, I'm just not impressed. He reminds me of T-Mac. The size, the ability, step back three, stationary three, off the dribble three, get to the rack. And the reason why I didn't initially believe in him, because it just looked too slow. But the slowness was the smoothness of his game. And when I started realizing, oh, damn, you know what? He's at Nike camps. He's going against people that are supposed to be at his level. Mm-hmm. And he's just... And I'm like, you're not trying. My thing is,
it's all about the spacing. He can score outside, inside, finish at the rim.
With either hand. He's beautiful with either hand at the rim.
And the icing on the cake, he already playing with...
He's playing third fiddle already. Mm-hmm. Already.
Behind Zion and RJ.
And, hold on. The icing on top of the cherry is he's doing it for Coach K.
I was going to say the coach.
For the coach.
So he's getting great coaching.
He's getting great coaching, right? He's getting great mentorship right now because, obviously, when you're young like that, you want a ball. But if Coach K can, you know, kind of... Buy in, massage that this role is best for you right now, and it's also going to allow you to be part of a big three in the NBA, whether you're the first, second, or third option. It's huge because his talent level is ridiculously high, and I think it does get overshadowed by RJ and Zion. But this dude, like I said a week or so ago, he's going to be the highest scoring rookie. And I might want to take that back because I think there's only one other guy that could probably outscore him.
Who?
Ja Morant. Rookie year.
He's one of my favorites.
And the reason why I had to rethink that was because Ja's going to have the ball in his hands a lot more than Cam Reddish.
Yeah, especially if the Knicks get their dream package of KD and Kyrie. He's definitely ain't going
to. But see, like to me, with KD and Kyrie, I'd rather have Zion.
I disagree. I'd rather have Reddish because I'm thinking about the lineup.
But you forgetting about your boy.
No, I'm not forgetting about my boy because I'm thinking about the lineup with Cam Reddish, would, in my opinion, would be Kyrie, Cam, Knox, KD, and then Mitchell.
So you playing KD at the stretch four?
That's where he at now.
He's technically the three.
I mean, he's technically the three probably defensively. Offensively, he's the four. Because he
gets the post. Yeah. He gets the high post plays called for him and stuff like that. But I think the same way that when Golden State upgraded Harrison Barnes to KD, I feel Zion is the upgrade to Draymond. Because if I look at the skill set that Zion has and I look at the NBA to see what guy possesses, does all of this stuff that Zion does. Because Zion is going to hit every freaking box. Mm-hmm. Blocks, steals, rebounds, points, field goal percentage, all of that, right? Who does that in the NBA right now to that level? To me, there's nobody that does it to that level, but the person that does all of that is Draymond. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that give Draymond an extra like 30, maybe 40 pounds, an extra like 3-4 inches, and give that man a 50-inch vertical, you got Zion. So to me, the same way Harrison Barnes and KD is the upgrade, Zion is the upgrade of that. And when I see Kyrie, I see Kevin Knox, I see KD, put Zion there? Oh, my God. To me, he just fits better than Cam. And y'all know I love Cam.
I'm just saying, right now, I would love to see Kyrie have a two-guard that he can work, like, kind of like Stephen Clay. Mm-hmm. You know, because to me... Cam, like, he'll do anything you ask him.
No, 1,000%.
You want me to shoot? You shoot. You want me to defend? I'll defend.
Yep,
1,000%. Kyrie, like, that's the best thing. That's the best relationship I think Kyrie had.
But the thing, and I love Kyrie too, but the thing with Kyrie is when Kyrie's at his best, he's handling the rock. Mm-hmm. It ain't about move here, move out the ball, let me catch and shoot. Because Steph, he boogies on people sometimes here and there, but he don't need to do that to be special. Kyrie needs to do that to be special. Mm. And with that being said, I think that you waste Cam Reddish. in that role. I think with Zion, because Zion don't need the ball like that. Kyrie can do all that stuff. He missed a shot or a layup. Guess who coming for that offensive rebound out of nowhere? You know what I'm saying?
But for me, I think he can be way better than – I know you're saying that the prototype is Draymond, mm-hmm. but the way I would want him to be developed, it would be more in the vein of Charles Barkley or LeBron, where mm-hmm. it's just like you can, you know, you can bring the ball up one time. Because, like, he's the future of the Knicks. Like, Kyrie, mm-hmm. even though right now he's still pretty young for his age, like, mm-hmm. he ain't going to be – like, especially with how his knees is and how mm-hmm. he got injuries every year, he ain't going to be there for that long. That's why mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, all right, who's up – who can take the mantle up next once this era?
Zion is the better segue player.
Yeah.
You know, Zion is the guy that could take the baton and take that franchise for another.
He can carry them when they get
exactly.
old. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, so I give you that. But, you know, man, look, this draft, I think we kind of know what's going to happen in the draft, you know, who the top five, top six players are going to be. But I think what's going to be even more interesting is who gets these picks.
To me, this is like that LeBron James 03 draft.
This
will be that impactful on the
NBA. 1,000%.
Other drafts, you know, like you get one player here, one player there. But I think this draft will be like, this will dictate the next 10 years of the NBA.
This is going to replenish not replenish because the NBA is fully talented. But remember, Ken, years ago, what did I say? The NBA is going to have to look at expansion because the level of talent that's coming into the league right now, and it's not going to stop for the next 3 years. I'm telling you, the draft class is after this.
I think it's
fine.
I don't think they need to expand.
I don't think they need to expand. I just think small market teams got to get better.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I think that part of the reason why those smart market teams are bad is because of themselves, because they're not just picking right. But in terms of the talent that's going to come in, what I'm saying is, in the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to be impossible if you're picking in the top 10 to pick a bad player. He may not fit you because bad teams pick players that just don't fit. But I just think from a talent perspective, every team is going to have at least two guys.
But to me, it's like if we had 2 to 3 more teams run like OKC has been for the last 10 years. And granted, OKC hasn't been pitch perfect either. But they have at least been like, you can't sleep on them.
Sam Presti has been proactive.
If there was like a Danny Ainge from where he is at now, the deals he's making if he was doing the same thing similar in New Orleans with the Pelicans, I think they would be in a better franchise position.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? If there was someone who can just get somebody competent in the Phoenix Suns front office, they will be in the playoffs right now. They have too much talent for them not to be in the playoffs, or at least competitive. Like that's the thing that I think we really need to start analyzing these GMs as harshly as we do these players.
But another caveat to that too is also coaching. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you have different levels of coaches. You have championship coaches, you have rebuilding coaches, you have teacher coaches, you know, so you also have to get the right coach for whatever status that your team is in too. And I don't think that these GMs and or owners get the right guy for the job a lot of the time. You know what I'm saying? Because when you look at New Orleans, right, since they drafted Anthony Davis, they've done an okay job. Like, if I had to grade him, I'd give him like CC- of putting talent around Anthony Davis. Alvin Gentry and Monty Williams before him, you know, I think Monty Williams got the raw deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Alvin Gentry is an okay coach. You know what I'm saying? I think he is somebody that is an offensive guy, but he hasn't had that level of success in the NBA. So why do we keep recycling these guys? And I'm not saying that we could just go pick another Brad Stevens or Eric Spoelstra out of anywhere.
But they out there.
They are out there. But we can't give that franchise a whole bunch of flack for then, you know, like the Chicago Bulls going after Fred Hoiberg. Because they didn't recycle somebody. It just didn't work. And now he's out the league.
But I think, again, this is to me, it all trickles down from the GM president. Like, mm-hmm. You get paid thousands, if not millions of dollars to run an organization. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I'm paying you that much money, that means that's how much I have my expectations and my confidence in you to do your job well. Just like if I'm paying LeBron $200-some million or Westbrook, I'm expecting mm-hmm. $200-some million worth of production. Mm-hmm. So when you see all these people with the Dale Demps or the As much as we were surprised about him getting fired before the end of the season, him getting fired isn't a surprise at all, mm-hmm. because he, throughout his whole tenure, he's been having nothing but fuck-ups.
Yeah, he's been mediocre at best.
Exactly.
Mediocre at best. One playoff round one in 7 years. That's
my thing was you traded for Omer Asik twice. Mm-hmm. That's enough.
All right, moving to baseball. Manny Machado, man, 10 years, $300 million. It's the biggest free agent contract in the history of American sports. Mm-hmm. He has an opt-out provision after the fifth year.
Wow.
Yes. And there was something else.
You said $320 million?
300. Over 10 years.
Over 10 years.
$2.5 million a month for the next 10 years.
They initially offered him $250 over 8 years, but the deal could have soared well north of $300, but they clearly didn't take that. And, yeah, he's 26, so he'll be 36 by the time this deal up if he plays out this contract.
You know what? Obviously, it's very difficult becoming a baseball star or a star in any sport.
Yes, that's true.
Yep.
I want to be the agent. Ooh, that agent got paid.
How much is that? How much is that contract? Well, he probably go at least $50 million, right?
Well,
because most agents get like 10%. Yeah.
So you're talking $30 million.
I like the fifth year. I like that they gave themselves an out.
Yeah.
Because we've seen these big.
Player option.
It's a player option. Oh, so it's on him. So I could stranglehold y'all.
Is it a team option or a player option? Yeah.
Well, it didn't say. It doesn't say. Hold on. Let me see. I thought it gave the organization.
If he got a player option, that agent is the agent of the decade.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Opt-in Machado deal is after the fifth year. Player only, a mutual. They're not saying.
So to opt in, that mean to me that implies
that
the player. I have to opt in back into this contract. Because they would say team option if it was on the Padres.
So
that's ridiculous, bro.
Oh, you know, I think about, because Machado can play, but $300 million?
That's just the market now, I think.
But you know, I was listening to Colin talk about this, and he said it's more like you're paying him $20 million a year because Manny's going to fill seats. And when you look at.
See, I don't think he is, but go ahead.
Mm, well, see, I don't follow baseball to that extreme.
Yeah, I do.
And whenever I do watch a baseball game, like none of these. None of these stadiums.
Well, because it's an 82 game thing.
You know, 100 something years. Yeah. So you know, I don't know, but Collins' reasoning why this works is because the difference that Manny's going to bring in terms of the hot dog stands, the beers, the parking, the seats, like $10 million. So really, you're paying him like $20 million.
Well,
so that was his reasoning.
I don't know if, okay, so knowing what I know about the Padres, because my first tweet back was the Padres !! Because they don't have, they have young development talent, but I don't know if they have the pitching staff to become a team that competes, and I don't know if they have it in the farm system. But they do have some young hitting talent that started to manifest a little bit last year, still a little bit raw, but the talent is there. Their projected lineup now, this guy Francisco Mejia is a catcher. He's a hot prospect. Eric Hosmer, who can't stay healthy. Ian Kinsler, who's old and can't stay healthy. Of course, Manny. Luis Urias, who is a shortstop. Then they got Fernando Tatis Jr. You remember Fernando Tatis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could play. So, Luis Urias can play second. He's a hot prospect, too. Fernando Tatis is in the farm system. He's a hot prospect, too. And then they got Will Myers, Hunter Renfroe, and Joseph Pirelli, who can play. Manuel Margot, who can play. Francy Cordero is the young prospect there that they're trying to develop. And Framil Reyes. So, if the hitters, these young guys that I named, pan out, then it's going to come down to the pitcher. So, Joey Lucchesi can pitch, and then there's a guy, then they got, and I don't know the rest of these guys. Like, so the pitching staff is going to be iffy. But those hitters, with that lineup, they can.
And here's the thing, right? Like, I think that you got to look at windows when you're talking about when we throw on GM hats and we're looking right at that. So it may not be the window for championships and all of that this year. It's still more developing. But then next year's free agency, if they can get some more pitchers, bring them through the farm system.
And by year two, three, it might also be a combination of both. We're trying to fill the seats, and we also got this plan that we're not there yet, but we need somebody out there to parade. We need the star. We need a star. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully,
a guy that runs when he feels like it. I mean, that's what he said.
That's what stars do, right? They do they do things when they feel like it.
But, to your point, yeah, they have young hitting talent. So if they're projecting out, they go in there and they look at the whiteboard, they obviously going to have to figure out what are we going to do with this pitching staff. So I think we got young guys in the farm system that's on these contracts that's not going to cost us anything.
Exactly. So now we got all we are basically paying him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Man, that's crazy.
But is this the domino effect now as far as, because was he the first one to get paid? Is Bryce Harper still?
Nope. Bryce Harper up next.
Because he asking for the same amount, right?
Yeah, I don't know if.
Or is he
might get more.
I don't know if the quote was he's asking for $300 million or is he asking for, I want to be the highest paid ever.
Mm. Is
he has that talent to demand that, though.
And he's box office.
But he is box office.
To me, it's his age. That's the real thing.
How old is he now?
He's only like 26.
He's 26.
Yeah, he's young.
They're the same age.
That's the reason why his age is like, we could, if we lock him up or like do the same thing, like a 10-year deal, he'll still be young enough to still get his another contract if he keeps himself healthy and all that stuff.
Yeah, and we always, like, everybody know him.
Exactly. Like,
Manny Machado, you know, people just not find, but people knew Bryce.
Yeah.
People knew Bryce Harper, but my thing is his health. And you know, how healthy will he be? And, you know, he has great power. The contact fell off, but I think part of it had to do with the injury. But is he worth the $300 million? If you pay Manny Machado, you could damn sure pay Bryce Harper.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what his agent probably on the phone right now saying. Mm-hmm.
Show me the money. Hell yeah.
So
does Clutch Sports have any baseball guys?
Nah.
Probably not.
Oh,
I feel like
I don't think so.
Rich needs to get into that. $300 million contracts.
Jay-Z got in that sack.
He did.
When he signed Cano.
So sticking with baseball, because obviously we know you mentioned Kyler Murray earlier. And obviously he was trying to figure out baseball or football. Here's the question I had to ask, and then we go into what you had. Why are we talking about Kyler Murray all of a sudden? Why him? When you have Dwayne Haskins out there, who is the ideal size, the same or equal numbers, played at a franchise in Ohio State.
Come on, Ken. You know why?
Why did the media pick Kyler Murray? What's behind this?
What's that famous line that these thoughts we're using nowadays? What's understood doesn't need to be said. We already know he's the top ranked quarterback in this draft, right?
Haskins.
He's going at worst. He's going number six to the Giants. At worst, no one has him going any realistically. All these
not
teams,
going lower.
He ain't going lower than number six, in my opinion.
Okay.
So for me, it's like the reason why it's the same reason why we talked about Lamar Jackson, I think, or maybe we talked about Baker.
Baker and Sam Darnold.
But I think with Lamar Jackson, I feel like the same way with Kyler Murray that we don't know. We see talent, but we don't know, and we don't want to be. You don't want to be wrong, but you damn sure don't want to be like bust wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's the cusp that Kyler Murray can either be the next. Like Mike Vick 3.0, because that's what people are saying. Because they saying he's like Doug Flutie with Mike Vick talent, or he could be just a bust completely.
So
I think it's just his agent trying to rile up his stock.
Well, and not just the agent, right? Like I definitely think it's the Todd McShays and Mel Kuypers of the world, right? And I think that sometimes, every time, in every potential upcoming draft, there's always a guy or two that, for some reason, they start talking about him, and this guy's draft stock starts to skyrocket.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't.
Why did they pick this guy?
I think it's because of the baseball thing. I honestly think. If the Oakland A's were not really that pressed to have him, he would not be talked about that much. 1,000%. Even though he's a Heisman Trophy winner,
and then he's a quarterback.
I know, but okay. And I went to WalterFootball.com. He has the quarterbacks ranked. Daniel Jones is the number one prospect out of Duke. Dwayne Haskins is number two.
Daniel Jones, I don't know why people have him so high. I don't know either,
but that's how they do. Dwayne Haskins, at the end of the day, he played at Ohio State. You mean to tell me Ohio State don't move the needle?
He only had 1 year at Ohio. He's a starter. It don't matter.
Second rank.
I understand that, but I'm just saying we have more of a body work with Kyler Murray.
No, I thought this was his first year.
Nah, this is his.
Yeah, he played. Baker Mayfield played last year.
No, but I thought it was for some reason I thought he had more body of work.
Drew Lock is third out of Missouri.
Drew Lock talking about him. He definitely has more.
Kyler is fourth on this list, and they talk about him every day. And then it just hit me today. I'm like, okay, why was he the guy?
I think he's the most intriguing, right? Like, it's his size. It's the fact that he could also play baseball. And we've seen that a lot of baseball-football hybrids have success in football. Yeah. Charlie Ward, Pat Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? Like
Russell Wilson.
So I think with the size, right? Because he's like 5'11", right?
He ain't 5'11".
He's 5'9".
He may be 5'8".
They're saying he's about 5'10".
The combine, he going to be sweating bullets at
he's
the combine.
He's going to be 5'11" by combine time with the cleats, with the extra long cleats on there.
If they count the flat top, whatever he got in his head, he's going to be 5'11".
But I think it's the height. I think it's his speed. I just think it's the combination of everything.
They said I forgot the last time he ran. They said he ran a 4.3, and he said I can probably beat that right now.
So he's saying he 4.2.
He's saying he could beat 4.3. I don't know what he's saying as far as that, but he's saying he could beat the 4.3.
There's an agenda. I don't know what it is. I haven't figured it out yet. But
agenda for what?
I don't know. Something's amiss. It's just weird to me that the media just latched on to Kyler Murray.
Because again, like, what can we say about Dwayne Haskins
should be talking about?
But
Dwayne
he's going
to
be the number one quarterback taken, regardless.
Look, he was elite at OSU.
He's the greatest quarterback in OSU history.
He's not a running quarterback. Like, he should be discussed. I don't know.
Let me ask you, Nick.
I got to figure it out.
As a Giants fan, if they took Kyler, how would you feel?
Let me ask Kyle.
That's a question that has been proposed. Because, you know, in drafts, nobody wants to stick to one person. They always fielders. But the Giants have already said that he's too short. But if they picked him, I would be upset because I think Dwayne Haskins is better suited.
What if he's gone?
And we pick Kyler? Mm-hmm. I would still be worried because we don't have the offensive line to help him out.
He runs 4.3. He said he's faster than that.
I forgot who said this. I think it was I was watching the NFL Network, but someone said in college, it ain't about how fast you are. The game is fast. Like, the players are faster than what you think you are. I believe I would be intrigued by it, but I honestly think I'd rather go offensive lineman. If Dwayne is off the board, I'd rather go off the line.
At number six.
Look at what Quentin Nelson did to the Colts.
I have another question. So if they take an O-lineman at number six, you keep an Eli?
You have to.
Oh, man, get the hell up out of here.
You have to.
No, man, they got to move on from Eli.
Like I laid out in previous episodes, there's been at least three quarterbacks in every draft since Goff and Carson Wentz went. So, again, even right now, we're talking about two quarterbacks. And there's possibly going to be a third one between Daniel Jones, if he may be a surprise. Drew Lock may end up surprising a lot of people because a lot of people are doubting him because of his accuracy issues and the fact that when he does go against top talent, he don't really show out. But, you know, there's always going to be somebody. And then the year after this, we got, what, the guy from Clemson? What is it called? Sunshine?
Yeah.
We got Tua. Maybe have somebody else. Like, right now, like – right now, if we did got an offensive lineman and did some more work and then get somebody next year, he would have Saquon Barkley, OBJ.
You heard this. That's where I wanted to go next. So
you talking about that them trades? What
the all Patriots. Right. The Patriots have 12 draft picks.
I understand, and I heard last year they were aggressively going for OBJ.
Which I don't understand, but okay.
You don't understand.
Hey, I mean, I get them trying to go for OBJ.
Ever since they had Hernandez, they can take anybody. They do take on all the leftovers. They had Chad. They had Randy.
Michael Floyd.
Yeah, they had a lot of people where people were like, if it wasn't for the pass, you're like, why are you picking them up? I believe Dave Gettleman when he said that because to me it's like, why put that much capital into him if you are willing to let him go?
That's what I understand these sudden rumors, because I'm like, they just signed him. So why is everybody talking about where is OBJ going
to
play next?
I think it's only because of the AB situation. Because the fact that the Steelers are willing to move on with AB when he's still in the prime of his career, when he's still producing ridiculous numbers, it's like, if I can make this man go away, who are you? You ain't even top two at your position.
We'll get to AB.
As much as I love OBJ.
But OBJ has been squeaky clean. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard anything about him.
Since what? Since we that bedroom scene where
he got hurt.
since he was in that hurt. Hotel room with the bottle. Hey. With the white substance.
The facts are.
you tell him he was asking to borrow some sugar.
he hasn't been AB. Has been showing out.
Yeah.
So I hope what you're saying is not true, because to associate one problem Negro with another one that hasn't been a problem.
No, I'm not saying a problem.
I know. You're not saying that, but I hope to God that the media be like, oh, look at Antonio Brown, OBJ. Like, come on, y'all. They got to be better than that. But it just seems weird, unless they just don't have shit to talk about, unless they just need to throw OBJ.
It all started with Jay Glazer. And I think it started last year as well, but Jay Glazer was like, he was on The Athletic. He said, someone asked him in the mailbag logs of like, who else, what's a surprise trade that may happen in the offseason? He said OBJ. And
he said that recently?
Yeah, recently, like within the last month.
And somebody picked
it up. And they picked it up and they ran with it. And ever since then.
That don't even make sense.
Well, they said surprise trade, and that would be a surprise trade. Especially after him, getting all that money.
It would be a surprise.
It doesn't make sense to me, because right now I feel like the Giants are doing even though they suck and they are picking at the top of the draft the last 2 years, they've been in still a soft rebuild. I feel like they're kind of one quarterback away from making the
line.
Yes.
Well, because they need so much help on the O-line and they need a quarterback, I would understand sacrificing OBJ, because you still have another dynamic weapon that they just drafted in Saquon Barkley, right? If you move.
Who are they going to throw the ball to?
They still got Sterling Shepard.
They still got
Evan Ingram. They got weapons. Look, it's not like they got
Sterling Shepard. Yeah,
but they're not devoid, though. They're not devoid, Ken. And then also, if I'm the Giants and New England throws three or four picks my way, I'll take it, because look, where the Giants are, they need to be infused with young talent. Young talent that I can play right now. I'm not saying you can replace OBJ. There's no OBJ replacement at wideout in the draft, but you can get talent there. You can draft three O-linemen. That's basically
this
your
is
whole
a good,
line.
This is a good draft for O-line.
You know what
is
I'm saying?
A great draft for
you
O-line.
Can get your whole O-line right now, and you can get your replacement quarterback. And all you had to do was sacrifice one guy.
But to the point that was made earlier by one of you, I think the rebuild thing, you got your receiver, you got your running back, you even got a tight end. And I'll throw Sterling Shepard in there as long as he's not the number one guy. Your quarterback away. You just said it. And a couple.
No.
And a couple. And you said a couple. We need
a lineman. Yeah. That's why I said if we can't get Haskins, because to me Haskins, like, he checks off all the boxes. He's the right size. He can make any throw on the field. He's great pocket presence. He's played in the best competition in college football and has been proven. He knows how to read defenses, at least from an excelling level at a collegiate level. I think he's great. If we cannot get him, I don't feel like taking the risk on Kyler Murray would be worth it, because David Gettleman, he always brings this up. If you miss on a quarterback, you just set your franchise back 10 years. So
but
to me, you can't – it's very rare Like, if you miss on an offensive lineman, that's fine. You can get a next draft. But a quarterback is like, look, they already talking about moving off of Josh Rosen. Mm-hmm.
But see, Ken, the other reason why I think it could be a smart move for the Giants to move on from OBJ, because OBJ is in the prime of his career. He's a win right now guy. Saquon is not win now. Saquon is just, he's going into year two. OBJ's been in the league how much? Five, six years now?
Damn, is it that long?
Yeah.
Not six. I would say
five. He lost the season because of the injury. He came back last year, which was, so that's two. There was the catch year when he had that spectacular catch. That's three.
He's been in the league longer than 3 years.
About four? I mean, we can look it up.
He's been in the league as long as I've been with the company I'm working for.
I think this past year.
That's like five.
He got his deal this past year, right? This past season.
Yes.
So that was his fourth year. So they were doing that because, yeah, so he'll be going into his fifth year now.
Okay.
Okay. So either way, right? Like, he right now needs to be in a situation where they're competing. And if they get a rookie quarterback, it's going to take that rookie quarterback at least 2 to 3 years.
Not the way the game is playing now. Lamar Jackson went to the playoffs as a rookie. Halfway through the season.
But you got to understand how they went.
What do you
exactly.
mean?
Exactly.
Defense.
But what I'm saying, though, is that if you have OBJ, right, you need a quarterback that can get him the rock consistently. You got to feed that man. It's just like Julio. Julio don't get the touchdowns, but he get fed the rock. And all I'm saying is,
you don't think Haskins can feed him? Haskins can feed him. If he can feed them boys Haskins in Ohio State, man. He can definitely feed them.
Haskins, man.
He can feed them. I told he can make any pass out on the field.
But who's drafting ahead of the Giants, though?
Right now, the draft, I think it's Arizona number one.
Okay, so what if they take Haskins number one?
They're not going to do that.
Why?
Because they already got Josh Rosen.
But you said that they're talking already about moving on. So if they decide to move on.
They will pick Kyler Murray before they pick Haskins.
You think so?
Because of the coach. You got to look at remember you always talk about coach quarterback.
You do.
And also it's like, come on, bro. They traded up last year to get Rosen too. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to be quick to just let those draft picks go to waste. I think number two is the Jets.
They already got their quarterback.
Number three, who else? You got the list.
Oh, quarterback.
Who's drafting? Draft order for the NFL.
Oh, the Mark.
I know Oakland is four. I know five is.
No, Detroit got to be up there.
Nah.
No.
I got you.
Tampa Bay
is up there.
Let's see. Arizona, San Francisco.
San Francisco is
Jets,
two.
Raiders. Bucks, Giants, Jacksonville, and then Detroit.
So, yeah, so you guys do got a good opportunity because pretty much all of those teams
outside of the only Raiders. The only thing is the Raiders could be a wild card. Mm-hmm. The Bucks could be a wild card too.
But here's the thing. So let me ask you, would you rather have Haskins or would you rather have who's the Raiders quarterback? I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, Derek Carr?
Derek Carr.
I'd rather have Haskins.
Okay.
Me too.
It's only the one thing I would say that is because he's just saying it because he pro brother. But the one thing is because contract, Derek Carr.
But talent wise,
I might give it to Haskins still.
Damn, the Raiders do need. Because Gruden don't like Carr.
Gruden is not married to Carr. He like him. He don't love him. He won't pick a quarterback.
He ain't gonna pick, especially a black one.
Yeah.
So he'll probably get that kid out of Duke, maybe. So that leaves
Bucks. It's just right now the trend is, and this is a theory that I have as well. The trend right now is what? Rookie quarterback, build around him, pay everybody else but the rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. That's another reason why I would say pick Haskins before trading for any other quarterback because you can get him for. Granted, if he's a top, he won't be a top five pick. So bottom 10. He's going to get, like, maybe, 15, $20 million, you know what I'm saying, guaranteed and stuff like that. That's an easy contract, over 4 years at least. I think this trend of rookie quarterbacks, that's going to reset the market for quarterbacks getting paid this ridiculous amount. Because remember when I brought up the whole statistic?
You think it's going to go down?
Going to go down. Because look at it. All these teams that were serious contenders in the playoffs, except for maybe two, all had rookie QBs.
Mm-hmm.
People thought Baltimore could possibly do something with Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you see with Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. he's still on a rookie deal. Obviously, you see Jared Goff, he's still on a rookie deal. He played the Super Bowl.
We saw what Russell Wilson did.
Russell Wilson
was kind of the one that spawned.
Why am I paying the top 10 quarterbacks that got paid this year? I think only two of them made the playoffs, or one of them only made the playoffs. If I'm paying all this money and I'm not only am I not winning games, I'm not even getting to the playoffs, what am I doing all that for? That's going to reset the market, in my opinion. Because if Jared Goff on his rookie deal goes to the Super Bowl and is facing Tom Brady. If Jared Goff is going to the Super Bowl facing Tom Brady, because people are talking about, why re-up on Jared Goff when his deal is done? Who do you think needs each other more? Does Sean McVay need Goff, or does Goff need Sean McVay? We can just let Goff go for the market and draft another QB. If I'm a Rams fan, I would take that risk because I know what McVay has done. I've seen what Goff is without McVay, and I've seen him with him. And in year two of McVay, we're in the Super Bowl. I think that's the trend that's going to reset the market.
The reason why it's not going to reset.
It has to because
there's always going to be a franchise willing to pay, and that's the problem.
That's not a winning franchise.
As you
can see from that list that I said, those are not winning franchises.
No, I feel you, but there's always going to be kind of like a revolving door. Because what you're saying is you're predicting. That how long are rookie contracts?
It's 4 to 5 years.
Okay, so what you're saying is every 4 years we're just gonna draft a quarterback instead of pay him.
No, I'm not saying every 4 years you will. I'm just saying the trend of drafting. Like I'd rather take the risk. I'd rather go into the draft and get my QB than to pay you
1,000%.
But unless obviously if you're Aaron Rodgers,
that won't reset the free agent
exactly.
Market.
I think it will because
just like with the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. We could cut ties with Eli and draft a QB. But you were saying why don't you trade to get Carr? Why don't get Foles or somebody like? I'm like, why do that when I can get the money?
No, I understand it from the Giants' perspective. But let's talk about the Rams because it's very interesting.
Okay,
so let's say. You know, Goff is, in his second or third year, so you're going to have to re-him up in a year or two, right? So let's say they move on from him. Don't you think that Cincinnati, you know what I'm saying? Don't you think? There's a whole bunch of teams that will pay this man the money.
You're right.
So therefore, the market is never going to reset, even if there are a quarter of the franchises doing what you're saying.
You're right. But I think within the next 4 to 5 years, you'll see the teams like the Minnesotas of the world. You'll see the teams like the Atlanta Falcons. You'll see the teams who, like, damn, we did pay Matt Ryan that much money.
But the problem with
we did pay Kirk Kirk Cousins all that money, and we didn't even make the playoffs.
That's true, but the problem with – and I understand your way of thinking, how you're looking at it.
Me too.
But the problem with that logic is that you can't pay a guy that just came in the market the same price as somebody that's more experienced. That's been in there for 10 years.
No, I'm not saying it's going to go all the way down to rookie scale. I'm saying that it's not going to – because right now the quarterback money, it just keep going up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy G set the record with – or no, Aaron Rodgers set the record. What, he's got like $150 million or something like that? Right now it's just keep going up. I'm saying some GM is going to be like, he ain't worth it.
But
some GM
is going
to be like how I said in the beginning of the season, Aaron Rodgers ain't worth that.
But to his point – somebody will.
Somebody will, but that's not a winning franchise.
But
not necessarily.
You're focused on whether or not they're winning a franchise. It's not the crux of your argument is whether they're winning or not. We're talking about the market and what the market bears.
Exactly.
So as long as somebody willing out there to pay it.
And then here's the thing. Wait, hold on. So let me give you another example. Look at the Broncos, right? How many quarterbacks has John Elway drafted? Paxton Lynch, somebody before him.
Trevor Siemian.
You know what I'm saying? So, and they haven't worked out to the point where he'd rather go just trade for Joe Flacco.
Case Keenum didn't work out. Exactly. Just go get Joe Flacco.
Exactly. So you're going to have franchises.
And then he's going to get fired in the next year.
He's not going to get fired.
Are you serious? You're telling me if the Broncos don't get into the playoffs with a Super Bowl MVP quarterback, that he's not going to be on the hot seat?
Hold on, I'm telling you what he is.
That's why he signed. I'm not saying that's what I believe, but that's Nick. Why is that not why he signed him?
Nick.
And because he's sick, because you know John Elway got a type. He like him tall, dark, and handsome.
Nick, I know he won a Super Bowl, but everybody in the league and everybody outside the league know that Joe Flacco cannot play. And
you're not saying – I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm saying it's because of
those reasons.
The
Denver Bronco fan base know that Joe Flacco can't play. They know he's just reaching with this.
Then why did he do it?
Because he needs to try something. Case Keenum ain't going to do it.
Because he can't draft him.
He's got
to and you also have to take into account that not every franchise can draft particular players. Mm-hmm. Look at New England with wide receivers. They can't draft them. Look at almost every other organization. They can't draft. You act like quarterbacks are just growing
New England
on trees.
New England. Yeah, they can't draft wide receivers. But I'm just saying, but wide receivers aren't what – you can buy a wide receiver. You can buy a running back. You can buy a tight end. You can buy an offensive line. You can even damn about buy a defense.
You can buy quarterbacks.
You can't buy a quarterback. You only the GMs that last in this league draft quarterbacks. Look at it. It's historical content.
You got to, but at the same time,
you can't last in this league if you don't draft.
But quarterback can't be the revolving door. And because you're 100% right? Like Thomas Dimitroff, the GM of the Falcons. Mm-hmm. The reason why he still has a job is because who drafted Matt Ryan? Who came after the whole Michael Vick, Matt Schaub thing? It was Thomas Dimitroff. He drafted Matt Ryan. They re-upped Matt Ryan. He drafted and moved up to get who? Like, you have to be able to acquire guys. And not only acquire them, you have to be able to pay them and then move on from them a year or two early. But at the end of the day, I get where you're coming from. But I can't see the quarterback position being a revolving door, and that's what you're proposing.
But no, I'm only saying that because we're about to see. Right now, we're in a really interesting time as far as quarterbacks getting paid, because we can swallow the Aaron Rodgers. We can, as far as what they're getting paid, like we could understand that. We could see Tom Brady. We could see Drew Brees getting all that money. Dak Prescott. Is he really worth that? Is the market really worth Dak Prescott as far as him getting that money? Does that make sense to you? Does it make sense for Jared Goff, based off what you see in the Super Bowl, for him to get quarterback market money? Have we even seen anything from Jimmy G to justify what he got? No. It's going to get to the point where, like, bro, why are we paying this guy?
Now, here's the thing.
When we know he ain't the one that moved the needle for the team.
So I get where you're coming from. And I think that the person that has the answer, and y'all can fact check me if I'm wrong, I think the person that has the answer to what you're proposing is Deion, where he says, why are we paying quarterbacks the most amount of money? We should pay people based off of talent,
yes,
right, not just by position. So,
the NBA.
Like the NBA. If you are, it don't matter if you are a 6'1" point guard in terms of Mike Connolly, or it don't matter if you Giannis Antetokounmpo, a 6'11" everything, you get paid the same because that's what your value is.
And I think that may be more of the change in the NFL in terms of markets than them just scaling quarterback.
But I'm just saying something will happen. But the NFL won't just do that based off of, it's just because of this Dak Prescott.
No, I think
it has to be it has to be something so drastic, but rationally drastic. That's why I'm saying this whole rookie deal thing.
Well, I think you're seeing people kick up dust about it. It started with who was the tight end that wanted Jimmy Graham. It started with Odell Beckham. So the conversations are starting to happen. Aaron Donald was another one. These people are starting – we're the best, but you guys have basically put a ceiling on what we can get paid based on our position, even though we're almost as impactful
as
a quarterback. And you guys are paying quarterbacks that we know – can't play. Yep. So there's one thing, like you said, you have the tiers, the upper echelon guys, the Aaron Rodgers, the Bradys, et cetera, right? We know that they deserve every single penny that they get because they are the reason why you win. Mm-hmm. But then you have guys like Aaron Donald, who's, we could argue, as many have, that is probably way more impactful on that team in terms of wins than Jared Goff. So, and Gurley, right? They are the ones that are really the driving force. And again, to your point, Jared's contract is the one that's
gonna
allows
break the whole
for
team.
That to happen.
Yeah.
But when he's up and if he performs in the next 2 or 3 years and he's no longer dependent on Sean McVay, then he will be worth the money.
But he has to show that within the next 2 years consistently.
Of course.
Because right now, the biggest thing that the Rams, the biggest ticket they got is like, bro, we had you with your rookie year and we had you on Sean McVay. And these are two totally different people. So right now, we're going to pay you this amount of money. It's the same thing that Jerry Jones probably going to talk to Dak Prescott about.
Yeah, they know what Dak Prescott
We know what you are with Zeke and without Zeke. We had a full season on both. And we're going to pay you this because of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, and again, organizations. Going back to the Falcons. The Falcons, they got their quarterback. Now, we can determine where he fits, but he got to a Super Bowl. That's a win. You know,
and
but,
an MVP.
And an MVP. So that's a win. But then you look at Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, whoever's running the organization, I think you brought that up too, should have known better. Should be like, okay.
Guy. Oh, Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin. He should have been like, okay, let's get out of here and let's go find us a guy.
Yeah, we didn't need to re-up him.
And they didn't need to re-up him.
It's the same thing you talked about with NBA coaches. They do the same thing with NFL quarterbacks.
They just recycle
everybody.
Yeah, and I don't get it.
Because again, like I said, GMs get hired and fired based off quarterbacks.
1,000%, but that's also why I said that quarterbacks just don't grow on trees. Because in theory, I understand what you're saying, but you're not always going to be in a position to draft a guy that you know can be good.
I disagree.
At quarterback.
I disagree. Like, because Philly wasn't in a position to draft a quarterback until they traded up and moved up to get Carson Wentz.
But they were
in need of a quarterback. Same thing with the Rams. Same thing with the
But a quarterback came along for Philly, though.
With Washington Redskins when they traded up to get RG3. Like, same thing with the Chiefs.
And RG3 was only good for 1 year.
Yeah, but that was only – but that was – I'm talking about that 1 year he won rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't injured, we don't know what – if Mike Shanahan was smart enough to say, all right, bro, sit out. We ain't going to play you this.
That wasn't even
But
Mike
I also think it depends on the talent that's in the
yeah,
draft.
Yeah, exactly. But the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. Like, you could – like we act like
– That draft class was talented when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yes, it was. It was. But I'm just saying, like –
This one isn't. So what do you do now?
We can't act like we don't know that yet because somebody's going to trade up. I guarantee
I'm just saying this one – and you just said it earlier – It is an O-line league. It's a defensive league. We've been saying that this whole
– Yeah, but like I said, since the golf and Wentz draft, you can get three quarterbacks every year. No matter –
on three quarterbacks.
Yeah, but I mean, but they've panned out so far. Even this past draft, we had five.
I'm not hearing anybody talk about – what's the other guy from Duke?
Oh, you're talking about Daniel Jones?
I've heard people talk about Drew Locke.
Right now, because the draft hasn't come up yet, you're going to hear a lot more
chatter. Oh, they're going to start hyping them up because they got a product to sell.
But the same thing with Kyler Murray.
That's hype.
But you don't. So you don't think he's going to translate in the NFL?
I don't know yet, to be honest.
But you think Dwayne Haskins will? They're both on a 50-50 scale. We don't know if they could be boom or bust.
They ain't no 50.
When
it comes to my black quarterbacks, I'm right, except for Jamarcus Russell. Although I wasn't that big on him. But I remember I was slow to Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
And then Penn State
game was it for me. As soon as I saw that Penn State game.
He still looked a little iffy. But either way, the Hawks, man. Because we can debate that one for a while. But we'll see what happens. The Hawks. Mm-hmm. Kyle sent us the article. I just kind of.
I thought you wanted to cover AB.
We'll get to the Hawks next after AB.
Yeah, we'll go to the Hawks. We get in on the Hawks. Look, I just go back. I'm gonna be like how Max Kellerman say the same shit over and over again. Nah, just playing. But look, I said it way in the beginning that I would get rid of Bell and Antonio Brown before it even became a thing. And now it's the thing. Granted, it's a little bit different. Bell just didn't come to work. AB is like, yo, I'm tired. I'm ready to be traded, although he's been problematic the whole season. And now he's finally officially demanded a trade. Mm-hmm. They met, and Art Rooney the second, and they've agreed to part ways. And here we are. My thing with Antonio Brown, and this is the reason why I said we would trade him, is because of everything he's doing now. To the point where he's scaring away other teams.
Yeah,
you think that's a smokescreen?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not really. Have you seen all the stuff he's done since the beginning of the season?
Look.
Even off the field?
Do you remember all the shit T.O. did?
And I'm glad you said that because we do have evidence of T.O. behaving and then showing out again.
Mm-hmm. No, we do. But the reason why I'm saying.
Is that the career that you want AB to have?
No, that's not.
That's exactly where he's going.
I know. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be 5 to 8 teams, regardless of how crazy he is off the field.
I do agree with this.
All of the antics, yeah, they going to take him.
And those are not the teams that he want, but he going to go there.
Here's the thing, right? Like, they're talking about possibly the Rams. What do you mean he don't want to go to L.A.? What do you mean?
What can L.A. give up? Go ahead, Julius.
But we also don't know. They might just cut AB because we don't know teams how much they're willing to give up. It's probably going to be a couple draft picks and a player or something like that, right? So if the Steelers can't get exactly what they want, they're just going to cut them because the NFL works that way.
But they're not going to eat that dead space like that.
Yeah, that's a lot of money they're going to eat. This is like $60 million.
They won't cut him. They'll just hold him.
Okay. Well, either way.
Same thing like what my man from Amazon should have done. It's cheaper to keep her. Sometimes it's just cheaper to keep her. Like, I'm not going to eat that money.
But you know, the Chiefs, the Colts, there's teams that will still take AB. Doesn't matter what is happening off the
field. I agree.
You know, because he's too talented.
But it's just like, but at the same time, what he's saying is contradicting his actions, because he says I want to win. It's not about like all this other crazy stuff. It wasn't me. It was them. And it's like, well, bro, like, what did you do to help? Fact that you didn't play in that game against a division rival, which was important for you to get to the playoffs, even though there was other factors that could have prevented you getting the playoffs. The fact that y'all couldn't even do y'all job to get there because of you. And you're saying that you're one of the best players that you should get quarterback money. And then on top of that, you're demanding quarterback money.
Having a hissy fit.
And then on top of that, you got off the field issues. There was a domestic violence case that didn't get picked up, but that's there too. Especially if they willing to cut Kareem Hunt, who right now is in a better position as far as youth-wise to get more money down the line than you are. Come on, man.
I'm not arguing or refuting anything or any of the statements that you made. But at the end of the day, the same way that there's bad franchises that'll pay quarterbacks, recycled quarterbacks, crazy money, there are teams that are going to give up whatever it takes to get a guy like that just because of the talent and because that team is probably going to be either devoid or they just want to add more firepower to their offense. Let's be honest. Let's just look at the history of the NFL. Problematic guys still have jobs. Yes. They always will. They always have, especially when they're as talented as AB.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not arguing. I 100% agree. And if I was a GM, depending on what my squad was, I may or may not add that to the locker room. You know what I'm saying? But that's something that you literally have to look at and be like, does he fit? What can we give up? Because he's just that talented. It has to be a consideration.
So what you're saying
is that you wouldn't even consider him.
He ain't worth it.
Ooh.
He ain't worth it.
I might be with Nick on this one.
I'm only saying this because of this. All right. How many teams have a quarterback as good as Big Ben? And again, I'm going to get to Big Ben. Mm-hmm. But how many teams have a quarterback as good as Big Ben?
Half of the league.
Half of the league?
Yeah.
I say...
Half of the league. Give or take one or two. I'll say
10 to 12 teams. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying more... We're in the ballpark.
Okay. How many teams have an offensive line as good as the Steelers?
Half of that. So, like, 8, 9.
How many teams have had a running game as good as the Steelers the last few years?
5.
How many teams have good coaching, a good head coach like the Steelers?
In the 5.
Last? He couldn't – with this player who's top – he's 1 or 2 in his position, right?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even get you to the playoffs. What can he do for my franchise? With all that being on his team, to help him succeed, he couldn't even help that team get into the playoffs. So if I'm a team that's going to pick him up, I'm thinking I'm 1 or 2 players away from getting to the Super Bowl. He can't even get you to the playoffs.
See, but there's a difference when you already have a playoff team, right? And you just need that extra to get you over the top. Like, AB will be that extra to get you over.
How can you say that when this is there? The Steelers every year, what do we always say? They should be a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. It's between them and the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
Until we saw Patrick Mahomes, it was them and the Pats.
But here's the thing.
For the last 3 years.
The teams that I believe will take a flyer on him, he won't necessarily – if he is their number one wide receiver, they got hella other options. The Steelers have been kind of – before they got Juju, you know what I'm saying? Mm. They've been pretty much – it's been a rotation as the second best wide receiver out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like they –
Martavis Bryant.
Who's been their tight end?
Jesse James, but they've been – they've been going through a lot of tight ends.
So the Le'Veon takes off a lot of pressure of the number one wide receiver, mm-hmm. right? A great running back takes a lot of pressure off that number one wide receiver because now that safety, he can't just be out there double covering. You got to come up and run support and things like of that nature. The teams that I mentioned, like the Rams, Kansas City, the Colts, right? These AB would be going to a situation where he would literally be if he is considered the number one guy, the number two guy is just as good as him, mm-hmm. right? Or as impactful. Maybe not as good talent-wise. AB can do a lot of more things. But in terms of numbers and what that other player, wide receiver, or receiving threat means to that team is as impactful as AB. That makes you extremely dangerous. And to me, for those teams, it gets you closer to that Super Bowl.
And I'm saying for you, the blueprint is the Steelers for the exact scenario you're talking about. And with that team that he was on, he couldn't even get them to the playoffs.
I feel you.
Because, like, what better number two than what better number two than you have with Juju? If you're talking about the Chiefs, that, I mean, you're basically saying Tyreek Hill would be Juju.
Why are you placing that all on him, though?
I'm not placing all on him. I told you I'm going to get to Big Ben. My argument was – we were talking about what teams would take flyers on AB, and I said he's not worth it based on the situation he's leaving from. Everything I need to see is right there. You just mentioned that the Steelers holistically are only five other teams are in that same position. Mm-hmm. And those are the teams that, if realistically, should take a flyer on him if you want to get to the Super Bowl, if not win a Super mm-hmm. Bowl. And if he can't do that for that team, who in the last 3 years have been the top two team or supposed to be the top two team in the AFC, the whole conference, and he still couldn't even get into the playoffs this season, let alone get – I don't know when the last time they were in the AFC championship game.
And that's why I think it's unfair because they've been to the playoffs like
– every year damn near.
But what do we always say?
To say that he can't get them to the playoffs this season is like saying he can't get them to the playoffs – at all.
No. I'm not saying.
I just think it's an unfair statement to say.
He ain't getting no younger. And for two, he ain't playing with no – there's only top five quarterbacks.
I just take issue with him not being able to get them to the
playoffs. I'm saying
it's happened since he's been there.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's only five quarterbacks that give you – that are as competent as Big Ben as far as the quarterback that he would need to succeed to produce those numbers, right?
There's only
five teams that have a collection of talent that's Super Bowl caliber with a head coach to go with it that you trust. I'm just saying, like, what are we doing here then? Like, well, I'm gonna give up all these draft picks. I'm gonna give up some players. I'm gonna give up this to get him.
It depends on the structure of the team, exactly. Obviously, the quarterback, the talent, the coach. I mean, you know,
that's every year though.
I know, but I'm just saying we can't.
Like, where does he fit perfect? They were just in the Super Bowl. New England don't have that.
But then again, of course, if he go to New England, he's going to get a ring. But that's more New England than him, right?
I feel you. And all I'm saying is that the play,
then New England don't need him.
But the majority of the places that I say that he should go to, it's more about the collection of what they already have versus AB.
And I'll even say this one final note that should be the trump card. When was the last time a superstar wide receiver won a Super Bowl for a team?
I understand that.
I mean, we
know Jerry that. Rice. We going back to the 80s.
Yeah, we know that.
So then,
we know that.
Again, what are we talking about? Is he worth it? Because he's going to ask for money, too. He's already been paid.
But
no, he's going to ask for a new
he's gonna contract. He's going to ask for more money. Yeah, I understand, but at the end of the day, man, the brother produced.
I understand. From a fan perspective, AB is that dude. As a GM hat, if we wearing the hats,
as a GM
I ain't
hat,
taking no flyer on him.
I'm saying I would not.
But here's the thing. You're
if I'm looking at the Cardinals, If I'm looking at San Francisco,
and that's the thing. Hold
with,
on,
that, with that sensitive QB you got already?
No, no, no. The Cardinals, no. But you're looking at it as you being just a GM. You're not looking at it as being a particular GM of an organization. So if you're the Colts, you have to strongly consider bringing AB in. Strongly. If you're New England, you strongly have to consider giving up some of those 12 draft picks you have in this upcoming draft to go get AB. Like there's just certain teams that look, he's going to land somewhere. That's unquestioned. He is not going to play for the Steelers next year. Somebody's going to trade for him. And I think that he will have an impact wherever he goes. Now,
he's still one of the hardest working, most productive NFL players.
Hardest working. Come on, when you quit on your team, man.
I'm not diva. Talking about that's him showing diva. Up. I'm
that's
talking about
cool. That's work. That's work.
But that's being a diva. That's being a diva.
I follow this man. This man works out all the time.
I'm not saying he's
the hardest
shape.
Working out like player. T.O. He puts in the work.
At this point in time, I expect everybody to be in shape. You're a professional
but they're
athlete.
Not,
you should be in shape.
Not everybody is.
But they're not. I don't know. A lot of players that
I don't,
work
but I'm just saying, I'm not
going
to give you a pat on the back because you're in shape. What else is new?
Because you know why?
Everybody cut at that position.
Because with him, it means that he's going to stay productive on the field because he's basically like LeBron James. He takes care of his body, he works out, and he's going to be ready to play on the field.
Well, then I guess just like LeBron, he ain't going to make the playoffs either. That's all I'm saying.
So, talking about basketball, these Hawks, go ahead, Ken.
Kyle sent us an article, man, about why the Hawks made the trade. We've debated it on here. And basically, Travis, and I can't say his last name, starts with an S, outlined pretty much kind of what FIBO has outlined since we started talking about the reasons why. And they wanted to do it for assets. They were really comfortable with anybody in that window, I think. Mm-hmm. Through the first nine picks,
they said that they were comfortable with 5 to 6 guys in this particular draft of drafting, and they said that the only way that they were going to move down was to get another draft pick, and they said that they were going to take Luka. They said they was hitting up the agent, setting up the press, and that's when Dallas called, and Dallas said, "Hey, we'll give you another pick next year," and here's the big thing, right? Draft day, I told you I was a good pick because I had a feeling, regardless of whatever free agents and this, that, and the third, right, that they got, I felt that Dallas wasn't going to make the playoffs. Now, I didn't think that they were going to be like number one pick territory, right, but I definitely felt that the Hawks were going to win this trade because they were going to get 2 draft picks in this draft, including taking Trey in the current draft.
And neither did they. So he says, for us, what made it make sense was our analytics staff was predicting the Dallas to finish 8th this year. Right now, I think they're 10th.
Yep.
And then he says, I've always taken the strategy with the draft to use a baseball strategy. The more swings you get, the more chances you have to get a hit.
Yep. And I think that, again, you know, with their GM, with their head coach, y'all know me, I'm bad with names, but I know that they came from the Golden State organization. And if you look at what they're doing, what they're building, I've been saying it all year, Huter's starting to come into his own. They hit on that draft pick.
Yeah, they did.
They definitely hit on my guy, Trae Young. They hit on John Collins. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if they can get their hands on Cam Reddish this upcoming draft or Zion, the Hawks in 3 to 7 years, right? I know that's a big ass window. It's a big window. But in that time frame, they are going to be extremely competitive. Like in the first 2 to 4 years, I don't know if they're going to make playoffs. But in that 4th to 7th year, they're going to start getting into the playoffs, getting their ass whooped, like I always said. They're going to get through those lumps. And when these guys develop, they're going to be a problem. I don't know if you guys watch Hawks basketball like that, but this dude Huter, ever since got hurt,
Torian Prince.
Huter has stepped up, and he is
like
the future 2-3 man. And if you get Cam Reddish to add to that, oh, my God. I'm telling you, the Hawks, even though Dallas picked up Kristaps Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did I say Dallas or I said Hawks? Either way.
You said Dallas.
Even though Dallas traded for Kristaps and they have Luka, the Hawks are in position to have three or four guys. That's the difference. And that's why I said that the Hawks won that trade.
The only thing is that...
has to be six or lower.
Yeah, and the owner of the Dallas Mavericks...
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban came out and said that they may start tanking to try to keep the pick. But right now, which according
part,
to this...
Which was part of the reason of that trade. Just look at that trade, right? You are trading all veteran guys. Wesley Matthews, DeAndre Jordan, who was the Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. Who, there's another person they gave up too. I can't think of his name right now. There's only three. They gave up somebody else too.
Who was it?
Well, regardless, all those guys I named have been to the second round of the playoffs or higher, or champions in Harrison Barnes' case. Right? Did he won a ring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he won. Yeah, he won the first ring.
So what does that say? Like, what message does that send? We're not playing for this year. We're not trying to make the playoffs. And here's the thing. Luka is good enough that I don't see them falling lower than 11 or 12. I don't think they're going to be.
I think they're 10th right now.
They're 10th right now. Luka's too good for that. And that's saying a lot. Because he literally out there by himself. Who else he got? You got Tim Hardaway Jr. now, you know, but he don't got no real established veterans with him. I think they're going to maintain 10 to 11. I think that they're not going to get that pick this year. I think that it's going to fall outside of 5. And I think the Hawks are going to maximize those two draft picks. And I think the Hawks won that. I told you guys that draft day when
right,
it happened.
Right now, according to NBADraft.net, their latest mock draft as of February 9th has the Hawks picking 5th, and they're projecting them to pick Cam Reddish. So the top 5 is Zion to the Knicks, Ja Morant to Phoenix, RJ Barrett to Cleveland, Rui Hachimura to Chicago, and Cam to the Hawks. And then the 12th pick, which I think would be the Dallas pick, they have them picking up Charles Bassey.
Mm.
I don't know who that is, but...
Big man.
I mean, I know who he is, but I don't know if I like the pick.
No, I like him, and the reason why I like him for the Hawks is because John Collins is kind of playing himself into
a four
that can play 5 or a 5 that can play 4, however you want to say it, semantics. But his game is rounding out. He had not saying he's consistent, he's great, but he has a 3-point shot that he's added.
That would fit. I just did the roster in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, Hooter, Cam, Collins, Bassett.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
I feel like this article came out as far as his explanation for getting Trey over Luka. It's similar to the conversation with Magic as far as why did you pick Lonzo over De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I think his explanation makes more sense than what Magic gave us. But at the same time, people are like, bruh, you, like, what's up? He should either hit before his contract up or you're going to have to answer some serious questions.
Well, here's the thing. The main difference with Lonzo over De'Aaron was that there was no real business involved and no other assets. It was literally just a selection. Where with the Hawks, we could have kept Luka and been fine. Or we made a business decision and got more. And still got a guy and got the second best rookie in the draft.
And I like Luka. Luka obviously can play. The media loves him. They loved mm-hmm. him before it even happened. Yep. They love Trae Young too, but obviously they don't love him anymore.
Well, he toward the end of that season because teams started just blitzing him and trying to take him out the game.
He didn't take his team far in the
yeah. So that's the reason why people felt out of love with Trae.
So the media,
yeah.
Because, and I guess what I was saying is that. It's not like Trae Young is playing like shit.
No, he's not garbage. You know,
and that's the thing that I think people are missing.
Exactly.
That Trae Young can play, and they have another asset. People are so caught up in just Luka,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they're missing out that Trae Young is actually a really good player. Like, he's definitely proven that he was a lottery pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know when all of this happened draft day, a couple of days after, I read an article that Bill Simmons wrote, and he said this is the reason why the Hawks are always bad. And I wish we could have brought him on the show so I could give him the spiel. And he could have disagreed, but I know that I was going to win in the end, because at the end of the day, Trey ain't chopped liver. Trey is literally the second best rookie in this draft. Tell me somebody that's better. And the reason why I know that, I don't watch every single Hawks game. Sometimes it's very hard to watch. However, I look at all of their box scores. And the only reason why I look at their box scores is because I want to see what Trey is doing. And the nights that he goes 2 for 13, 2 for 15, 2 for 18, the man is still getting 10, 11 assists.
And Luka's had some bad shooting nights too.
He has.
He just has had more highlights than Trey Young this year.
He has, and he's averaging 20. That's not easy for a rookie.
25 and
I mean Trey. But
no, 16. He's like 20.7.
No, I'm saying like his whole stat line is like 25.
Oh yeah.
It's well rounded. Yes, it's well rounded.
Yeah, and it's only gonna get better.
Yeah, and Trey is what 16 and 10. 4 and damn near 8. I think about eight assists.
Yeah, he's top 10 in the
league. He's a point guard, so he's not gonna be. And I don't even think he's the primary scoring option. He's 4 points under
Luka. Exactly. So. And what's the main thing that I always say outside of all of these young cats need 3 to 5 years? The main thing that every young player needs to improve first to get paid is consistency. And the thing that we knew about Trae Young is that maybe you're not consistent, but you got dumb range. Outside of Steph, if we're just talking range, and when I'm not talking the percentages.
We saw it in the skills competition.
We saw it in the skills.
You saw it in the Rising Stars. Yeah.
We saw it there, too. He has dumb range. He's going to become more consistent. Was Steph Curry this consistent when he came out of college? No. But he was a better shooter, natural-born shooter, but he wasn't this consistent in his game.
Yeah. Luka has superstar potential. We don't know that about Trae Young. People, when they look at this and they evaluate the trade, they only look at the swap.
Yep.
Nobody considers the picks.
Yep.
Outside of us.
And they're not considering the actual draft class in which they're getting those picks.
Right. Nobody goes that in depth. Like, we obviously.
Well, obviously Bill Simmons did. And he
considered the draft picks too?
Yeah.
I don't think he really considered draft picks. I think he just looked at the trade.
Yeah, I think he's. This trade sounds down. Like he just looked.
Like I think he was like, "Oh, you got a draft pick and you got Trae Young, but you gave up on the rookie of the year
of a future. What they think is a future.
Who's right now in comparison going to be the next LeBron?
But
as far as in comparison stat wise and stuff like
that. Yeah, he's not LeBron in terms of athletic ability. Yeah. But if you strip down the athletic ability, they're very similar. And Luka's a better shooter than LeBron.
Yeah, we can find other guys there that are
way better shooter than LeBron as a rookie.
Stat wise.
Who?
I mean, if we just strip away
I'm
the
talking
numbers,
about his projection wise. Project like if he does.
I don't want to get stuck on this. It just sounded.
You just don't want the great white hype era.
I actually love Luka, man. I also think he's. I think he's closer to a ceiling.
He is.
I don't think so. I think he can shoot better.
Consistency.
Oh yeah, yeah. He'll be able to do that.
But here's the thing.
I don't think he's going to be able to do much more than what he's doing now.
What do you mean?
Where can he go? 25 points.
He can score more. He can score more. He could be a 24.
If he shot more, yeah.
He could be a 24, 25, especially with Porzingis going to be there. He's going to open it up.
And what impact will Porzingis have on Luka?
A positive. Stats. Pick and roll.
I'm just talking about assists going up. I think his efficiency.
No, it'll be positive, but is this all we're going to get from Luka?
No. And you know what, me and ceilings, that's another thing that I always take into account when we're looking at young players and things of that nature. And when I look at Luka, I 100% agree with you, Ken. He's closer to his ceiling than what Trae Young is. If they're both here, this is Luka and this is his ceiling. This is Trae Young and this is his ceiling. I think Trae Young has a way bigger ceiling because he can get better, or he can get more. He can become more physical. Mm-hmm. He can become more consistent. He can become. He can get better shot IQ. Where Luka, his shot IQ is already very high. It's not. It can only get but so much better. It doesn't. He's not going to improve drastically there. Where Trae Young can improve drastically there. He's already scoring 16. Shot selection. Luka's already great because he's been a pro since 15.
Right.
You, how much better can he get there? Trae Young can get a lot better at the NBA level. Trae Young in the places where he needs to improve can improve way more than where Luka can improve. Because Luka is almost already polished. Luka is almost the final version of himself because he's been he's a pro for so long already. Trae Young's ceiling is way higher. And I'm not saying that he's going to hit it. But if he hits it, he has the potential to be better than Luka. And that's the reason. And I said this draft night when we covered it. That's why I like Trae, because Trae's potential to me is still higher than Luka. Luka was just more ready today to, like, just like RJ Barrett, right? RJ Barrett to me is the most ready NBA player in this draft. He's going to come in, and I think that is the best pick for Cleveland. They don't need to take Zion. They need to take RJ Barrett. But RJ Barrett is going to come in and he can impact right away, right? But his ceiling is not that high. Cam Reddish's ceiling to me is higher. Zion's ceiling is higher. But RJ's ready today. And that's for that reason. Those reasons I've been clamoring the entire NBA season. I love what the Hawks are doing, man. And I'm telling you, I don't know if Trae's going to hit all of those milestones to get him to reach his ceiling. But even if he gets halfway with the other guys that they're going to be able to draft up, like draft coming up, they won the trade. They won the trade, hands down. I honestly think Mark Cuban was very savvy in everything he did, but I think he gave up a lot to get his dynamic duo.
I love watching Luka play. I love everything about him. I wonder what type of impact he would have had if he was here in Atlanta in terms of fit.
So if he was here, I definitely think we would win more games than what we currently have. I still think that they take Huter. I think Huter still has the impact that he has. I think we would just be maybe a year or two ahead of the rebuild process.
He doesn't feel like a Hawk.
He doesn't.
I think that's the other thing.
You know why? Because
who? Luka?
Yeah, because Atlanta as a city, we're kind of flashy.
Yeah.
and Luka's super nice.
He's nice. He's flashy on the court.
But Trae to me is just sexier. He brings more flamboyance. Like the deep three.
To be honest, for me, it's just international players, I feel like, are better suited for smaller markets. Like I if you think about a Dirk, Dallas, Tim Duncan, Manu, Tony Parker, San Antonio, you look at what else am I thinking of? But there's certain teams where it's just like could you see Dirk in Atlanta? Could you see Tim Duncan in Los Angeles? Like, there's just certain teams, smaller markets, they kind of fit around. Yeah. Like, oh, like you're the main attraction.
It feels better.
Yeah.
It feels better.
And then there's so many other factors like the coaching and the drafting.
Style of play.
Like Dirk could have never turned into Dirk. He could have, you know, here in Atlanta. Luka would have still been productive, but he just would have been, he could have been Hooter.
Because, you know, think about, when you were going through all of the players, I just had him. He went to San Antonio and was nice, but he was drafted by Atlanta. They didn't know what to do with him. What the hell's his name? I see. He's a power forward. He's from France. Oh, man. What's his name? They didn't know what to do with him. And basically, he kind of bounced around until he got to San Antonio.
Did he play with the Spurs?
Yes. With San Antonio. And Pop had him as a stretch four.
I know who you're talking about.
Boris Diaw. Boris Diaw. The Hawks drafted Boris Diaw. Ain't know what to do. Oh, we gonna put him in the post. Yeah. But this guy was a ball handler, playmaker, Draymond Green-esque. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it may be the city, maybe the organization, but foreign-born players, there is a certain level of coaching or massaging or working in or understanding that you have for them to be able to be productive in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And Dallas has had it, San Antonio has had it, and Atlanta hasn't had that.
Yeah. But I feel like they're turning it around because they've hit on their draft picks so far.
Yes, yes, all of them. John Collins, Torian, all of them. All of them. They all can ball.
Yeah, they used to screw it. And I like Omar. That Spellman kid look like he'll be a good role player and productive. It feels like they're finally starting to figure some things out, and in the past they haven't.
I'm going to put it to you like this. I feel that the Hawks as a franchise turned the corner from being a purgatory team to being a team that you – obviously, it hasn't always translated to wins, but a team that you have to take seriously once they hire Danny Ferry. Because I feel –
Oh, the guy that – yes. The racist guy?
Yes, Ken. Yes, Ken.
I'm joking.
But I feel that – once they hired Danny Ferry, it legitimized us as a real organization trying to make moves. Obviously, the Danny Ferry era didn't all the way work out. I think he was still a great GM for us. Who did he bring? Coach Bud. And what did Coach Bud do? Take all of these guys, minus Josh Smith and Joe Johnson, and make four of these guys into all-stars and got us as the number one seed in the East. Obviously, we were devoid of a superstar, which is the reason why we couldn't beat the Cavs, right? But ever since that point, our trajectory has been here. And, right, I feel that we've always held on too long and overpaid the guys.
Joe Johnson.
Right? But once we hired Danny Ferry as an organization, we started moving on quicker. What do? We got rid of Jeff T. Let's see what Schroeder got. Schroeder ain't got nothing. Let's send him off to OKC. Let's draft our young point guard. And now they're starting to make the moves that successful organizations make, and that's why I've been so excited about the Hawks, because I've seen it. I've seen them be, you know what, we're gonna buy our draft or buy our championship and try to do all of this stuff, and we get to the second round and lose every single year. We can't draft, right? Marvin Williams, you know what I'm saying? We missed on Darren Williams and or CP.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That draft, like we have definitely did a complete 180, and we're one of those organizations. I feel that in the next 3 to 5 years, people are going to try to model what we've done, because what the level of success the Hawks are going to have, everybody's going to want to do it, and everybody can't do it.
Last thing, then we'll close it out. CJ Anderson, I don't know if you guys heard about this. Yeah, it was on Undisputed, and he said that that girl was hurt a little bit more than people thought, and that he thinks it was a sprained knee, and said it's the same knee injury he's had before in his career, and that's that. Girlie still hasn't said anything, but CJ Anderson out here talking, so that may explain some things. I mean, we're getting some answers.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it don't even matter. I really feel like it doesn't.
It matters for me. I just need to know.
I had a feeling because Todd Gurley's a workhorse.
Yes.
And if he's not out there, there's a reason why he's not out there. But I did feel in the Super Bowl he had a couple of plays where it felt like they could turn the momentum with
him.
He
had enough to get
maybe
to that game.
Maybe after those plays he was like, bro, like,
yeah, I'm hurt.
Yeah.
You never know. But with a guy like that talented – man, if he's not out there, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, oh, there was one thing I wanted to read from Reddit. It was just about Russ. So, Good Steel Etsy, and I think this is Good Straight Edge, said, as an OKC fan, I will say this about Russ. It's not his knee, but his ankle. After he sprained his ankle, he came back different. He didn't look like the same Russ. He was driving to the hoop. He wasn't dunking. And because he wasn't driving to the hoop as often, he wasn't getting to the line. When he did get to the line, oh, man, he looked like Shaq. He here recently, he's looking more like himself again. He got fouled on 3.2, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know. But I thought it was interesting that that as a fan, he thinks his ankle and not his knee.
To be honest, Russ has been he's had a lot of surgeries over the last few years. And it's been gone quiet because it's mostly during the offseason.
Yeah.
And he comes back like nothing happened.
Yeah, and he's still averaging a triple-double.
Yep.
So
something is
happening.
No, so and like I said, 20 percentage points less, that's no ankle, bro. I've hooped on twisted ankle. But I can still shoot.
Yeah.
That ain't that. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. The only thing my saving grace is this. If he gets back to normal next year, it was just an anomaly. Mm-hmm. You sweep it under the rug. It is what it is.
And I think it could be that. I think
that's what
it is. I think the surgery, I think he'll be more comfortable and he'll be ready to play. And that'll be that. But you better thank God for Paul George. God dang.
I don't know what he did. He offered him 40 acres and a meal to stay in OKC. I don't know. Something.
Man, I think he offered him the keys. He was like, man, you got it. You the man. And that's it. The one thing he wouldn't give to Durant.
So he said, this is the one thing LeBron can't give you.
On that note, man, we're going to close it out, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out.